Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed that you're listening to this program. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., and our address is 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, we'd love to have you join us online. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on our website and join us for a Sunday of worship. We are blessed that you're joining us for this new fall sermon series called Be Strong in the Lord. And I'm very excited that we're going to spend some time walking through Paul's encouragement to the church in Ephesus. We will study how to stand firm and be strong in the mighty power of God by putting on the armor of God. We will be in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20 for, well, probably the next 8 weeks. And I encourage you to read this letter from Paul to the Ephesians over the next 8 weeks. In fact, you could listen to the whole book of Ephesians on one of your Bible apps in 20 minutes. Before we go to God's Word for us today, it's important for us to come to the author of these words of life in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of all power and might, we come today to hear your words of life. You promise us that your word is new every morning. We come today to be strengthened in our inner being so that we are able to stand firm, to stand strong in the mighty power of God Almighty. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. God, there's just so much happening in our world today. We need you to fall afresh upon us. We lay down our hearts and open our lives at the altar of your church. Speak, Lord. We are listening. Fill us with courage and knowledge and power to stand strong. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bible or just listen for God's word. We're going to be in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 for the next 8 weeks. Listen for God's word. Finally, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Verse 14. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Let me set the stage for a minute today. Let us set the stage and put this Bible reading in the context. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Paul established the church in Ephesus around 53 AD on his second missionary journey. Paul returned to Ephesus on his third missionary journey and stayed there 3 years. Paul loved the church and the people of Ephesus. Paul is writing this letter somewhere around 60 AD. From Rome while he is in prison there. This is somewhere around 30 years after Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again. The letter to the church in Ephesus is only 6 chapters, and as I mentioned earlier, if you were listening, you could listen to the complete letter, this letter to the Ephesians, in about 20 minutes. You could go to Bible Gateway or any of your Bible apps and just listen to the whole letter being read at one time. Or you could read the letter this week from your Bible. Just a few weeks ago, I shared there's a correlation between reading the Bible and being filled with hope. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we would be glad to send you a Bible. You can email me at PastorDave@theseedChristianFellowship.com, and our church will give you a Bible. We have some Bibles to give out if you don't have a Bible. Remember, we find hope when we read the Bible. There is just so much going on in our world, and the church needs hope. The whole world needs hope. As we read the closing words of chapter 6 in Ephesians, we need to understand that the church would have listened to the complete letter in one setting. As always, I tell my people, I would tell you listening today, put yourself into the story, and then put the story into you. Think back to 60 AD. The church was formed and was standing on their sometimes strong, sometimes wobbly legs of faith. Everyone was hearing about Jesus, and faith was being shared, and churches were being formed. Imagine that we are back in time, and we're going about our normal day in Ephesus, and all of a sudden, your best friend at church stops by to tell you that Paul, the apostle, the guy who used to kill believers, but is now a believer and who is the leader of the church at large, just wrote a letter to you. Remember, Paul was taught at the best schools before he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Yes, that guy, that apostle, that Paul. Well, he's written to you a letter. Your friend tells you, be at church. Don't miss this Sunday. You won't believe what's in this letter. Are you with me? Let's get a few more facts before we begin our study in Ephesians 6. Scholars have divided the letter of Ephesians into 2 sections, and others have divided it into 3 sections. Some say that chapters 1 through 3 deal with doctrine, and chapters 4 through 6 speak of our Christian duty. Doctrine and duty is often how Paul wrote his letters. Christian author Ruth Paxson said that Ephesians could be broken down this way. Chapters 1 through 3 is about the wealth of the gospel. Chapters 4 through 6, verse 9, have to deal with our walk with Christ. And chapter 6, verse 10 on, is about warfare. Wealth, walk, warfare. Watchman Nee, a wonderful Chinese Bible teacher and pastor, he divides the study on Ephesians into sit, walk, and stand. And you notice in our reading today, I think at least 3, maybe 4 times, Paul uses the word stand. Stand firm. Stand in power. Paul opens the first 5 chapters with powerful themes and promises from God. Paul has opened to us the bright secrets of God's amazing grace, the mystery of God choosing us, the wonder of our salvation, and the miracle of our own spiritual resurrection. Paul also shows the church in Ephesus the celebration of divine power in their lives, of their heavenly position, of their peace, of their unity, and of their giftedness. Paul spoke to them and to us to our call to live as light, to be filled with the Spirit, and to live out the beautiful order of mutual submission as husbands and wives, parents and children, and masters and servants. All of that in the first 5.5 chapters. Now we come to Ephesians 6:10, and Paul writes that famous verse, 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. In this study of this passage, Hadley Mole says, this is what he says, quote, so this last passage gathers up the whole precious matter of the epistle in a sense of an urgent reminder of the infinitely serious condition under which the bright secrets of grace are to be lived out. In essence, what the old scholar said, everything comes together in chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. How are we going to live out this life of grace? Listen, Paul has written to us from a Roman prison. Paul isn't mincing his words. He knows his time is short. He isn't writing poems or how do you do. He isn't painting a pretty picture for us to imagine. Paul is what you call, well, drop dead serious. He knows it's time to, well, cut and shoot. Did you know when I pastored in Texas, a town not too far from us, it was called Cut and Shoot, Texas? Well, this is what Paul is saying. It's time, friends, it's time to cut and shoot. It's time to tell the church exactly what is what. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a famous pastor and scholar, has made a similar, though not equally long, attempt at exposition on this. He published two books on these 10 verses called The Christian Warfare, which contains 26 studies on verses 10 through 13. Did you hear me? 26. If he was giving the sermons online today, you'd have 26 sermons on verses 10 through 13. And then the second book is called The Christian Soldier. Well, that contains another 26 studies on that same section. So he wrote 52 studies on these verses. Friends, we might be here a long time. William Gurnall, the great 7th century Puritan, approaches these passages in Ephesians 6 with a lot of passion and purpose. This book he wrote, it was first published in 1655, then in 1658, then in 1662, then in 1864, right before the Civil War, right around that time, and then in 1964, and it was last published in 1988, and it's called The Christian in Complete Armor, a treatise of the saints' war against the devil. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed that you're listening to The Seed of Faith week after week. Our prayer is that you're going to grow in grace of Christ, come and grow in the knowledge of God too. Go in God's love and sow the seeds of faith into our world. We're talking about Ephesians 6. If you need prayer, I encourage you to go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write up a prayer. Our prayer team is seeing wonderful miracles. We're talking about what it means to be in a battle. And I mentioned William Gurnall. He's a man I've been reading. He's a, 16th century Puritan. He wrote a book, and he titled it The Christian in Complete Armor, a treatise of the saints' war against the devil. But, well, that's the short title of the book. The full title, and the Puritans were long on words, the full title says, wherein a discovery is made of the grand enemy of God and his people, in his policies, power, seat of his empire, wickedness, and chief design he hath against the saints. And a magazine is opened from whence the Christian is furnished with spiritual arms for the battle, helped on with its armor, and taught the use of his weapon, together with the happy issue of the whole war. Whew. I had to take a breath. That's the whole title of the book. Just think, there's three books in this section. Well, in his opening, in his preface is what we would call it, but in his opening or introduction to the book, this is what he wrote about this section. He said, the subject of this treatise is solemn, a war between the saint and Satan. And it is such a bloody one that the cruelest war ever fought by man will be seen as such a sport and child's play compared to this. It is a spiritual war that you shall read of, not a history of what was fought many ages past and is now over, but of a war now going on. The ugly tragedy is present with us, and it is not taking us to the farthest end of the world. It concerns you and everyone who reads of it. The stage on which this war is fought is every person's soul. There are no neutrals in this war. The whole world is engaged in a quarrel, either for God and against Satan, or for Satan and against God. Listen, this was written in 1655, first published, then again in 1658, then in 1662, then in 1864. Just the closing line, there are no neutrals in this war. The whole world is engaged in the quarrel, either for God and against Satan, or for Satan and against God. Maybe a good so what question. Let's pause and take a breath. Whose side are you standing on? You know, when I was on my retreat planning, my preaching calendar week last fall, I thought to myself, I can't be hearing right when I think I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say, preach on the armor of God. I mean, who does that? But it wouldn't just go away. This was back in, late 2021 and early 2022 when I was planning my preaching calendar. I shared with my wife about what I was hearing, that I just couldn't shake it. You know what she said to me? She said, good luck with that. I'll be praying for you. Well, who knew that our economy would crash? And as gas and food prices rise, I see the Holy Spirit was enlightening me as to what would be the thread that would hold us together during this season. We're either for God and against Satan, and or we're for Satan and against God. There's no neutral ground. Fun times, huh? Maybe you just want to turn off the program, but don't. You're going to learn how to stand strong in the mighty power of God. Yep, just like these Ephesians met together long, long ago, they anticipated hearing some pretty cool stuff from their brother and leader of the church. Can you imagine that? Put yourself in the story. You get this letter from a long-lost friend. They're all gathered together. Maybe they were saying, be there or be square. I don't know, but I don't want you to turn off the program. I want you to hear what God has to say to you. Paul ends the letter with, we're in a war. Get your armor on. Well, just a side note and a little digression before we even get into the passage, and we'll probably pick more of it up next week. Do you know that the gospel writer John, one of Jesus' best friends, he'll write to the church in Ephesus too. He writes around 95 AD. Now remember, this first letter comes in 60 AD, and then John writes in 95 AD, some 35 years after the first letter to Ephesians was written by Paul. John writes from the island of Patmos, where he has a vision and is given his revelation for the churches. In chapter 2 of Revelation, we can read the words that John has for the church in Ephesus. Grab your Bible again, Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 7. This is what John writes 35 years after he writes, after Paul writes to the church in 60 AD and then 95 AD. John writes, and to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you, for you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And then verse 7, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To those who overcome, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, sad to say, the church in Ephesus had lost its first love and had fallen short. Maybe a good so what question. A good so what as we come and think about this opening here is, will we lose our first love? Will we lose our first love in the midst of the daily battles of life? Maybe you feel like you've lost your first love. Maybe you feel like you've gone too far. Maybe you feel like God has forgotten you. I want you to know that what Paul writes here, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The Greek word that Paul uses for be strong is endunamo. And well, it's a present active imperative. It's a command to continually, day by day, hour after hour, night after night, and minute after minute, be strong, not in your power, not in your might, but be strong in the Lord. Be strong, it says, in his mighty power. Now that is a great promise. That's a great promise. Martin Luther was credited with writing the Reformation in 1517, and he nailed the 95 questions on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. Not long after that great event, he wrote a song. I'd encourage you to go listen to it. Maybe you've sung it in your church. Maybe it's just an old hymn. It's called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's a song that just speaks to what Martin Luther wrestled with. He struggled with his own doubts. He struggled with his own fear. He struggled with his own guilt. And listen, I'll just read two of the stanzas. This is what he wrote. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, and on earth there is no equal. The next stanza. Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that might be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Luther knew there was a battle. Luther knew that the battle belonged to the Lord. Luther understood that we can take a spiritual stand because God is our mighty fortress. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I want to kind of wrap it up, and we'll hit week two or the next section and spend more time just breaking down, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Sabaoth, I want to say that word. Sabaoth in Hebrew means the king of the armies. God, friends, God is a mighty fortress, and God wants us to run to him and be strong in him so that we can take a stand against our enemy. Stand our ground in God's power and might, and then stand firm, not in our own power, but in God's mighty power. Can we get an amen on that? Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we just come today. We give thanks for your mighty power. We pray that we would stand strong in these days, knowing that the battle belongs to you. Help us to grow in your grace, go in your power, and spread seeds of faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.